Riverside.
Well, good morning, Mr. White.
Good morning, Mrs. Angel. How are you today?
I'm great because I have just seen you absolutely danced out of the stadium by our special guest.
It was impressive, wasn't it?
He's got quite the moves. I would like to welcome our special guest, Mr. Ian Preston. Welcome.
Yes.
Well, thank you, guys. Thank you, Sharon. And thank you, Will. It's lovely to be here with you. Looking forward to our conversation.
Will be fantastic. Great guy. And we're going to tell everyone all about him. We're going to get straight into Ian's alumni. So the primary school that Ian went to was Yanko Public School. The secondary school was Leeton High School, and the tertiary institution is the University of Newcastle. Tell us more about Ian, Will.
Ian's one of four boys, and he was the only one in his family to do year 11 and year 12, and he kept going. He went to university and graduated with honours. His first teaching appointment was in Ngari in New South Wales, and he was 9 years there, and he spent his entire career in, Western Riverina region of New South Wales. I've got his list of awards and recognition here, and I'm going to have to shorten it a bit because it's very, very long. Yes, that's right. Secretary's Award for an outstanding school initiative in the Murrumbidgee Academy of STEM Excellence, which we're definitely going to be speaking about. Most influential educator and top 50 finalist in the Global Teacher Prize, and teachers have been selected from over 7,000 nominations, over 130 countries, and Ian made it down to the top 50, which is amazing. He's married to another teacher, and he's got three daughters, and one of those daughters is about to enter into teaching as well. Big fan of Bruce Springsteen.
His favourite daughter, obviously. Yes.
Yes.
Favourite one today.
Yes.
Yep.
Big fan of Bruce Springsteen, Dire Straits, former rugby league player and captain coach. He's a fan of the Knights. And welcome, Ian. It's great to have you.
Thanks, Will. Lovely to
thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
All right.
I think so. The awards and recognition list is very long.
Cut that short. So
yes. Very impressive, Ian. Great stuff.
Thank you. Great to have you here, Ian. So much to talk about.
We have, yes. Looking forward to it.
Well, we always kick off with the very first question, which we always ask all of our guests. So who is the teacher that positively impacted your life?
Yeah, that was really quite an easy one for me. I have had a number of very good teachers through primary school and high school and also through my university studies. But the one that jumped to mind immediately was a man named John Hayes. So Mr. Hayes, when I was a kid at school, John taught me at Leeton High School. He taught me woodwork and metalwork. He was also my football coach at the high school for the Open Rugby League team, and we had some really good success during that time. And John, we kept in contact throughout our lives, and even when I first started teaching. In my first couple of years, I ended up teaching at a school very close to John, and so we spent a lot of time together working on projects and those types of things. And in a really weird twist of fate, I ended up being John's head teacher.
that's good.
And yeah, he was always really proud to tell my staff and kids that he taught me when I was a kid at school. We had a very long relationship together. From the time I was probably 13 or 14 up until, sadly, up until last year when he passed away.
That is amazing. What a story. Mm-hmm. So before he passed away, did he, obviously, won the CommBank Teaching Award in 2022 and then had your global teacher top 50 finalist experience last year. Did he get to know about that before he passed?
He knew about the Commonwealth Bank Award, and he was really proud of that. Unfortunately, he passed before the Global Teacher Prize, But John was really extremely influential in myself becoming a teacher and more importantly, becoming an industrial arts teacher. I've got a story that when I finished school, I mentioned before, Will, that I was the only person in my family to go to Year 11 and Year 12. And I had no aspirations of going to university, and no one in my family had done it. And, you know, university was 7 hours away, so that was really never an option for me. You know, my goal of finishing Year 12 was to get a job in a bank or something like that, which I managed to do. And after doing that for a few months, I didn't really enjoy that greatly. So I got another job working as a records clerk for a government agency in Leeton. And that was probably the most boring job I've ever had. And by chance, one day I was walking down the street delivering mail, and I bumped into John, and he asked me what I was doing. And I said, I'm delivering the mail. And I opened up an empty manila folder, and he said, presto, there's no mail there. And I said, yes, I know. I'm just going out for a walk. There's nothing to do. And he said, mate, you should be a teacher. And I said, yeah, I'm thinking about it. And he said, you should be an industrial arts teacher. And so that night, he arranged for me to go around to his house, and he took me through what was involved in being an industrial arts teacher. He took me to the school to show me a lot of the resources, and he was instrumental in my becoming an industrial arts teacher. Absolutely,
that's a phenomenal story.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you, because not knowing what life is like if you go to Year 11, Year 12 and beyond, if you come from a family where that hasn't really happened, I mean, you sort of need someone to show you that. And it's awesome that Mr. Hayes was there to do that for you. That's great.
Yeah, I had no one in my family that said I'd been there before, even, you know, through cousins and things like that. So it was completely foreign on both sides of the family. I had taught as being a teacher, but I just didn't think that was possible for me. Didn't think I was smart enough, first of all, and the other person that was really instrumental was my wife Nicole. So we've been together since high school days, and she was a year below me at school, and she wanted to be a teacher. And in our little town, there wasn't a great deal of opportunities for work, and so she was going to be a teacher. And when I saw John convinced me to be a teacher, and the only place that had both our courses was Newcastle, so we ended up at Newcastle.
That's 7 hours away. That was
drive to get there. So they're the two people that have really been
instrumental. That's fantastic. And the fact that there's literally a handful of teachers, Australian teachers, who have made this top 50. Very elite group in the Global Teacher Prize. So to think that you didn't think you were smart enough to become one of these teachers, and not only have you become a teacher and had this massive impact, but you're being recognized on an international stage, which is just so, what a story. That is absolutely fantastic. And you're being recognized on an international stage for doing some amazing work. And it makes so much more sense now to me. I know the work that you've been doing, but it makes so much more sense knowing just how regional or rural your where you were living was as to the work that you're doing. So can you talk us through a bit about your virtual STEM academies, and tell our listeners a bit about that.
Yeah, so the virtual STEM academy, I'd like to start by acknowledging the Queensland virtual STEM academy. So Queensland has had virtual STEM academies for quite a few years now, and they've been led by John Jose and Wendy Bode in particular. So when it came across my doorstep, I suppose, that New South Wales was keen for a virtual STEM academy, I was really keen to get involved with my previous experiences being head teacher of the Lachlan Access program early in my career. And I was put in contact with both John and Wendy. And they basically mentored me to what the whole program was about in Queensland, how it worked. They took the time to engage me in professional learning and have dialogue whenever I needed it. So after seeing the success of their program, I was really keen to replicate that in New South Wales. And so our virtual STEM Academy, we offer STEM enrichment for students from years 5 to year 9, and those are students in regional, rural and remote areas. We offer a range of courses. We offer courses in skill builders where they learn different key aspects of STEM that they can apply to other areas in their schooling. We do grand challenges where they get an authentic problem that they need to solve. We also do what we call challenge your thinking, which is where we get special guests to come in. So, for example, one time we had Dr. Mary Ellen Weber, who was a former NASA astronaut, who came in and spoke to the kids via a Zoom link and explained about her experience on the International Space Station and how she was floating out in space, doing repairs and what sort of thing. So we have several prongs to what we do, but I absolutely want to acknowledge the Queensland Virtual STEM Academy and particularly John Jose and Wendy Bode for, I suppose, without their help, we would have got there eventually, but we've certainly got there much quicker, and we've got certainly a far better product through their involvement as well. So I started in 2021 with a really small trial. I had 8 kids from 4 local primary schools, and I ran a 10-week course on text-based coding. And 2 weeks into the course, we had the COVID lockdown, so all the kids had to go home, as I did. So the kids all wanted to continue, so I delivered from home, and they were at home on their laptops learning and being engaged, and they all turned up every week. So that showed us that it would work in our setting. So 2022, we had a big expansion to 253 kids. And then last year we had 451 kids. And this year we're currently rolling out 5 new delivery sites across the state, which has been taking up a lot of our time in term one. So we're now going to have delivery sites at Lismore, one at in the Hunter Valley at Maitland, one in the Central Coast, one at Corrimal in the Illawarra Wollongong area, and also one at Crookwell in the Southern Highlands. So our capacity is going to explode over the next 12 months or so.
Wow.
So what is the kind of potential numbers that you could be able to be impacting here?
I'm hoping that we grow to several thousand within the next 12, 18 months. Queensland's been very successful. They I believe get over the 3,000 mark, and so that's an aspiration for us to reach those sort of numbers. But I'm pretty confident that this year we'll get around the 750 mark, because a lot of this term has been training new staff and installing studios. So we've had a little bit of a decline to start off with, but we'll pick that up quickly over the next couple of terms. But I think next year we'll see it really take off, and we should definitely get well and truly, over 1,000 next year, maybe 1,500, and then continue to grow from there.
That's amazing. Wow. That's absolutely amazing. So we've once interviewed before. Help me out here. Do you remember Haggy? Help me out. The remote teacher Whitey, and
yes.
she was talking about obviously encouraging people to go remote. So yes. Would you be, because you've kind of been helped out with the Queensland schools, if there was somebody in another state or somewhere internationally right now listening to this story and they're thinking, that sounds great, that's what my remote community or rural community needs to be able to connect people, or I'm in a city and I want to work with people in regional or remote, can they reach out to you and for you to kind of share this knowledge?
Absolutely, yeah. I believe strongly in paying it forward. So, people have helped me out, and that's allowed us to get to where we are now. And yeah, absolutely, would relish the opportunity to help other people. Whether it's locally or internationally. As an example, I'm doing a presentation to Malaysian teachers over the next couple of weeks, and that presentation will be very heavily influenced on the work of the Murrumbidgee Academy of STEM Excellence and the Virtual STEM Academy. So I'm hoping through that session that we have, that maybe we can get some connections there. We also have connections with Northern Territory, and I've got a colleague in Tasmania who is really keen to get involved. So Yeah, so the goal is quite ambitious. It's to grow and to grow rapidly, but the focus is always really important to provide STEM enrichment for kids in rural, regional, remote communities. We particularly target our girls and we particularly target our Indigenous community.
Fabulous.
Cool. So what does it look like at ground level? You've obviously got so many students going from a couple of different places. How does it work online? Because I'm just imagining year five students and being online, that can be very challenging. How does that work?
We have a selection criteria that we send out to the schools. So the kids are, I suppose, vetted before they come to us. The kids join into a virtual world called IC, which is a collaboration tool developed by Australians in Newcastle. So Graham Brooker and Gary Ellum are people in IC that have also been really instrumental in the virtual STEM academies and their support. But basically the kids link in like most people would understand a Zoom or a Teams meeting or like we're doing here today. But they go into a virtual world with different environments and they can move around the spaces with little avatars. It's highly engaging. And because it's using game-based technology and spatial audio, you can send the kids to different locations in the space and they can collaborate without the noise over impacting on everybody else. And you can pop up, you know, smart boards and put your PowerPoint presentations. There's chat facilities. You can go to the internet. There's a whole range of things that you can do to collaborate with the kids, but it's highly engaging. And for those that haven't heard of it before, I suggest they go to IC, that's lowercase ISEEVC, and you can have a look at that online to see, you know, what the environment does look like.
That's amazing. Fantastic. Had you heard of that, Whitey?
No.
No, me neither.
Have you?
That's
no.
Great.
So I've just written that down. I'm going to have a play with that. I'm going to have a look. Yeah. It sounds good.
Fabulous. All right. Well, and so the other question, big question I want to know is what was – so obviously this has been recognised. What you've been doing here is very groundbreaking and absolutely working with the right – the most neediest of Australians, which is very respectable work. And it's been recognised on the national level and also the international level. So talk to us about the process of – nominating for and then being shortlisted for the Global Teacher Prize. And then, as we know, we talked about you on some of our episodes at the end of last year, you and Brendan, having been shortlisted and swept away on your red carpets over to Paris for the big award ceremony. So can you talk us through the process and some of the highlights?
Yeah, well, the process essentially started with being nominated for a Commonwealth Bank Schools Plus Teaching Fellowship, which I know, Sharon, you're also part of that alumni, I believe, from about 2017. Is that correct?
Yep, 2017,
yep.
Yes.
Yep, so I was nominated for a fellowship in 2022 and I was fortunate enough to make the final 12. And as you would be aware, they go through a selection process and you're down to the last 100, down to the last 50, and then you have an interview and the last 12 get selected, and by joining that alumni, we were encouraged to apply for the Barkey Global Teacher Prize because the Australian Schools Plus Commonwealth Bank Prize feeds into that award, or they're members of that award. So that involved another quite a lengthy application process. And then a similar thing happened after that. You get shortlisted. Eventually got shortlisted down to an interview, which I had with a member of the Global Teacher Foundation online. And shortly after that, I was informed that I had made the top 50, as had Brendan Kenner, who was on a few weeks ago. And as part of that recognition, both Brendan and I and the rest of the top 50 finalists were invited to Paris late last year to UNESCO, to the UNESCO headquarters for the launching of the Global Teacher Shortage Report, but also more importantly, as importantly, the crowning of the of the winner of the Global Teacher Prize. So we're very honoured to be able to represent Australia on that forum. It was an amazing experience. Brendan was a great travel mate and made the trip very enjoyable. But the experience was second to none, and we got to meet and collaborate with some of the most outstanding teachers from all corners of the globe and make connections. And those connections and that collaboration continues today. Like I still have regular contact with quite a few of the teachers that I met, and I know Brendan does as well. And so we've now joined what they call the Global Teacher Ambassadors. And so we're in contact with all of the Global Teacher Ambassadors from the last 8 or so years on a WhatsApp group. And so we can communicate and share ideas and get advice, from some of the best in the world, which is a real highlight of...
Not some of the best in the world, the best in the world, yeah. Actually, best, Ian. Yeah. You're underselling that's that. Right, that is the best in the world. What a group. What a little WhatsApp chat to be a part of. That is very, very cool.
Yeah, and there's things on there every day. So
Can you share with us, us mere mortals, also teachers, can you open up that WhatsApp now and tell us what's the last thing? What do they say? What are they talking about in this WhatsApp chat? Because I can open up my WhatsApp chat for school and I can let's compare.
All right, let's do that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What are you guys talking about?
I'm not wearing my glasses, so you give me 2 seconds to find the right screen.
Okay, so while you're getting yours up, I'll tell you what mine is. Mine is Simon and Garfunkel singing "Baby Got Back."
it literally
is.
S and J are very popular.
Yes.
That was AI created, so that made me laugh. But that's the tone. That's the quality of conversation that I'm having with people on WhatsApp.
One of our colleagues here, life changing. Yeah, one of our colleagues on WhatsApp is an American. His name's Sean Adler, and he publishes books from his students, and he's about to have a new book come out, which is based around the stories of migrant students going to schools, particularly in the New Jersey area. He had a book quite a few years ago that he published, The Class of COVID-19, which was made. Which was quite well known. I believe the American president made comment about that when it came out. He's released this new book now, and he's got a new one that he wants to come out next year, which he's asked myself and some of our other colleagues that we met over in Paris to help him with, based on stories around mental health for children, but written by children or students rather than written by adults. That's one example of the sort of thing that we see
that's
on
a
that.
Great idea. Yeah.
That's and being able to pull in people from all around the world to create that book and to share those stories, that's exciting, very, very exciting stuff. Mm. Mm. My teacher chat, the last message that came up was, "Oh, sorry, wrong chat." that's the level of brilliance that's coming up on my teacher chat.
So was that report?
They're fabulous.
You?
So it's anyone who's listening, They somebody had accidentally put a different chat group message in there, then wrong chat. Sorry, but anyway, that usually it is really insightful and joyous. But I'm glad that I could make my point there. We weren't talking about rotten books, all right?
No,
we're not.
No,
it's a different chat group.
Yeah.
all right, so we do a thing here on this podcast called Wisecracks, where have you got one, Whitey?
Always got one.
Okay, excellent. Well, let's listen to you might have one to rival this, Ian. Probably not, or actually you probably will. All right, listening up.
What is weekly Rice Cracks? What do you got, Mr. White?
English class, we're talking about we're talking about books, and we're talking about where you get books, because so much of what students are dealing with today is on tablets or they're on digital versions. And we were talking about actually going to a bookshop and you know what it smells like, what it feels like, what it sounds like, all that really cool stuff. And I said that I went to a bookstore once and they specialize in hard to find books. Nothing was alphabetized. Oh, Shaz, come on. That's pretty funny, isn't it? I thought it was pretty funny. No, okay. All right. Thanks, Ian. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, sorry, my finger slipped then. I actually meant to go at this one, which is my typical All right, thank you. I didn't say it was ever a highlight of the show, Ian, so sorry about that.
It has a cult following. Many people tune in just for that.
It's a niche following, we'll say. Oh, we do. We genuinely get to see them at their best and their absolute worst at times. Yes. Poor old Mr. White's Lauriston teaching crew got to learn that recently at their school camp when the power went out and there was lots of kids that still needed to do their number twos and they found themselves as teacher flushing the water down the toilet after that.
Power was knocked out, so the pumps were knocked out, which means you didn't have any running water. So that was an experience.
One of the teachers, isn't it?
You don't know. Yeah. You don't think you're signing up for this, but you really are.
No, we're not, but we do.
Absolutely, we do. I've had a little experience with the best and the worst just recently. Because the kids keep you on their toes. I walked past one of our sweet girls the other day, and she grabbed me on the arm and she said, "Oh, Mrs. Angel," I'm like, "Yes," and she said, "Are you wearing a wig?" It's like, I don't know where this is going. And I was like, no, Therese, I'm not wearing a wig. She goes, "Your hair looks too good to be true."
Hey! That's fantastic.
But to be fair, the day before I'd just come back from visiting one of our other schools and helping out there and helping with the culture and really kind of high expectations. And I was with a student who I hadn't spent any time with before. And so we were talking about how he kind of missed the high expectation and what he needed to do. And we talked and then he realized what he needed to do. And they said, "Do you have any questions?" And he said, "Yep. When are you going back to your school?" So also quite, you're constantly kept on your toes. When you're feeling really good about yourself, so going, "My hair looks like a wig." Then you're like told, "Get out of here. What are you even doing in our space?" Important to stay on your toes.
There's never a dull moment, is there?
There is never a dull moment. No. So, and we often on this show, Ian, talk about that as a teacher, there's never a dull moment. It's always interesting. You never know. You're never going to have a boring day, unlike banking. And you literally, you've been there. You know how disinteresting the job. And hi to all our banker friends out there. You wish you were a teacher. Because if they're listening to this podcast, they're thinking that it's time for a career change. Yeah. And be like Ian is all I can say.
Do it. It's not too late.
Start in banking and then get yourself flown over to France so you can go to UNESCO and change the world. Like literally change the world. Just like be like Ian. Hashtag be like Ian is all I'm saying.
That could go off.
If that doesn't go viral, I don't know what is going viral. Mm. Yes, exactly. All right, we play a little game, Ian, and I know you are super excited for this. It is called, I'll tell you what it's called. It's called this. Say what? That says say what. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to ask a question. Whitey is always going to go first.
Yep.
The answer is going to be a number, and then you get to go second. So you can either go higher or lower, or you can be very exact if you know. All right. Here we go. Unfortunately, Mr. White kind of picked the theme because we know that Ian Preston is a big fan of Bruce Springsteen, who's known to fans as the Boss. He's been one of the most successful and prominent American musicians for nearly 50 years. So tell me, how many Grammys has he won?
Oh, Grammys. How many Grammys has the Boss won? All right. Now, the Grammys are those ones. Are they the funny American ones? Circle ones?
What, by the gramophone?
The gold circle.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, those things. Oh, thank you. I don't know what I was thinking. Lady. Okay. Yeah, that sounds right. Well, yeah, that sounds exactly right. Mm. All right. How many do you reckon he's won?
No, you don't get to. Oh, I've got to. This is a collaboration. This is a... Yes,
I don't get to call a friend or something. Can I have a 50,
no.
50? All right, how many Grammys? I'm going to say that the boss has brought home 6 Grammys.
6 Grammys. All right.
6.
So, Ian, you get to – you can be very specific okay. if you know the answer, or you can play it a little bit tighter and you can go 5. So you can say less, or you can go 7 as more. What do you reckon?
Well, I'm a bit like Will. I don't know the answer, but he's had a long career for a very long time. Lots of hits. I'm going to go more than 6. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play it safe and go 7.
It's a good guess. It's a good guess. You could have gone higher because he's actually won 20 Grammys. So 20 Grammys, indeed.
I suppose he's been on top of his game for.
Long, for 50 long years, long nearly, time. Yeah, nearly 50 years.
70 odd now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. All right. Yes, 76. Thank you. That was going to be one of my questions.
That's one of the questions. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's not right. It's not anymore, though. But no. Let me ask you this. So he's won 20 Grammys. So how many number ones has he had?
Singles?
Yeah, how many number ones? Yep, number one singles. 20 Grammys.
20 Grammys, number one singles.
Mm-hmm.
Is this an official next question?
This is the official next question, yes.
Okay, so I need to get, all right, number one singles.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stalling very nicely, aren't I?
I can see what you're doing here. So,
you're searching?
Number one singles.
All yeah, right. You've said is that, this,
does
yes.
This, does this include collaborations?
No.
Do you know that? Or are you
yes,
just
I do.
That?
I okay. absolutely do. Yeah.
I'm going to go, I reckon he's had quite a few.
Yep.
I'm going to go 21.
Mm, okay. Excellent.
21.
Ian. Okay. 21.
I'm going to go he's a lot had 20... less. I'm going to go a lot less than that.
Mm, okay. What do you reckon you're going to go?
20.
That's it. I see what you did there. And I like the odds you play for many reasons, Ian, because as it turns out, as everyone listening along at home will be aware, anybody who's a real Bruce Springsteen fan will know that he has had 0 number ones.
0.
Outrageously, he has never had a number one. However, the only song that went to number one was Blinded by the Light when it was recorded and released by the English band Manfred Mann.
Wow.
No way.
There you go.
Oh, would I lie to you?
No. I'm not questioning you. I'm simply expressing surprise at that.
Yeah. No, are you hold it. Are you saying say what? Are you saying say what?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
First time. That was the intention of this segment. That's the first time we've actually got a say what out of it.
Organically.
I've met my objective tonight. Nobody else has. Except for the fact that Ian is the winner. So well done, Ian.
Well done.
Yes,
well
it's very impressive.
0 number ones.
Yeah. There
that's
you go.
That's obviously the American charts.
Yep.
American. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, could have been more clear, but I'm pretty comfortable actually with my answer in the end. 21 was clearly wrong.
Yeah, zero.
In whatever country you're in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fair enough, Ian. Thank you. 0. Wow.
All right. It has been fabulous getting to talk to Ian. So, how can people connect with you if they want to know more about anything that you've talked about tonight? But particularly, obviously, though those virtual STEM academies is your absolute life's work at the moment and is the thing that can change the world. So how can they connect with you?
Yeah, we've got a few ways we can do that. So one is through our what's called our STEM Industry Skills Partnerships website. So if they search for STEM Industry Skills Partnerships in New South Wales, that'll take you to our landing page, and inside that you'll find a link to the virtual STEM academies. If you want to contact with me personally, I'm on LinkedIn. So if you just do a search on LinkedIn, they're probably the two main ways. There are some other programs that we that I have been involved with that people might be interested in. So one is the Australian Virtual Astronaut Program, which is a STEM sprint that kids can do at any time. Culminates with a big competition at the end, but the kids don't need to do that. The schools don't need to do that. So it's based on space. There's also the iTeach STEM website, which I've been involved with. So any teachers out there who's looking for teaching programs, ideas, assessment tasks, etc., to show their or to use for their STEM kids from kindergarten right through to year 12, I suggest you look at the iTeach STEM website. So they're probably some of the ways that they can get in contact.
Absolutely love it. I'm taking notes as you speak just then. Obviously, my school is, you know, working wonders with kids with their literacy and numeracy, also teaching STEM, also wanting to stretch ourselves with those areas as well. So that's absolutely fantastic. I like to put Mr. White on the spot as often as I can. So tell everybody about our socials, Mr. White.
We're on all the socials. We're on My Book and Space Face. And seriously, we are. We're on them all. And if you want to drop us a line, our email address is teacherschangelivespodcast@gmail.com. Send through your magic moments or your teaching tales. See if you can knock me off the perch for the Whitey's Wisecrack. Good luck. But yeah, get in touch. Give us a like on YouTube and any podcast, what do they call? Podcast-based?
Platform,
that's a word. Thank you.
Yeah.
How'd I go, Shaz? How'd I go?
Oh, you'll pass. You can come back next week. Nice work. and very excitingly, we've cracked and held our spot in the top 100 this week in the education space in Australia in podcasts. So, you know, awesome. A little pat on our back here. Well done. All right, that'll do. We don't have much time for that. So, but it's nice to also know that people are listening and engaging and enjoying what we're doing as well.
Yes.
I want to say a massive thank you to you, Ian. I've respected your work for a long time, but getting to chat with you for a bit of an extended period has been amazing. And hearing that story of kind of breaking the cycle to go to university and then knowing now what you've actually done and the impact you're having on the world is absolutely inspiring.
It's incredible.
Exactly the stories that we want to tell on this podcast. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Ian.
Appreciate it very much. Thank you for allowing me to tell my story, and it's been great.
So anytime.
Encourage other pleasure. People to get involved.
Love it. I reckon we need a part two at some stage.
Yes.
And
Mr.
White, it's always a pleasure to spend time with you.
Very good. Always a pleasure to be with you, Mrs. Angel, as well.
And we'll see our listeners next week. Let's dance this out. Mr. Preston, make your daughters proud as we say goodbye to our listeners.
Powered by Riverside.